Chapter 3. Fact, Faith, Feeling. Chapter 3 contains the first extended theological discussion in the story. While Peter and Thomas continue preparing their boat for launch, Peter remains troubled by something Pastor Theodore said in church. Faith is not something we do, it is something we possess. Peter cannot make sense of the statement because he understands faith as an action, a deliberate choice to trust God and obey what he says. To explain his view, Peter remembers an illustration from youth camp. He draws a train with three cars. The engine is labeled facts, representing the truths found in Scripture. The next car is faith, which Peter understands as the choice to believe and obey those facts. The caboose is feelings, which he believes should follow behind and basically be disregarded. For Peter, the order is simple: facts lead, faith chooses to follow, and feelings eventually catch up. Thomas does not set out to argue with Peter, but his questions begin exposing some of the weaknesses in Peter's explanation. If God's word is true and his ways are good, why is it sometimes so hard to respond with trust, gratitude, love, or joy? If we do not feel grateful, joyful, or loving, can we simply choose to act as though he does? The conversation becomes especially memorable when Thomas offers Peter a dead, decaying fish and challenges him to give thanks for it. The moment is humorous, but it raises some serious questions. Is genuine gratitude the result of choice and outward action, or does it arise from something deeper? What role, if any, do our feelings play in being genuinely grateful? If God is fully aware of what goes on in our hearts, seeing our truest motives even when we don't, are we really expected to choose gratitude, patience, kindness, or any other positive attribute when we don't feel like it? The chapter does not dismiss Scripture, obedience, or faithfulness. Rather, it begins exploring the difference between merely knowing what Scripture says and being inwardly persuaded of its truth, from which genuine obedience naturally flows. Peter remains convinced that faith means choosing to obey regardless of how he feels. Thomas does not yet offer a complete alternative, but his questions make it difficult for Peter to treat the matter as simple. Before Peter can explain what troubled him most about Pastor Theodore's teaching, a seagull steals his cinnamon roll, breaking the tension, and the boys turn back to launching the boat. Surface Reflections. What part of the story captured your attention or interested you the most? What concept, question, or insight stood out most to you in this chapter? Which character's perspective or response did you find most relatable? What concept or insight seemed the most challenging for you? Plunging deeper. Number 1. Peter's train illustration assumes that once a person knows the facts of God's word, he can choose to believe and obey them, and his feelings will eventually follow. If you find yourself struggling inwardly while trying to make better choices or obey more faithfully, what might this suggest about your current understanding of faith? Number 2. Can you identify a time when grief, disappointment, or deep loss made trusting God and resting in his promises challenging? Why does it seem harder to live in the truth during times of difficulty than in times of ease? If the truth remains constant, why does our experience so often fluctuate? Number 3. The rotten fish becomes Thomas's illustration of forced gratitude. Is it possible to genuinely express gratitude, joy, or love if those qualities are not presently in your heart? How might this reveal some of the differences between trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit and effortlessly bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Number 5. Peter assumes that faith is the decision to place the faith car behind the fact car of God's word and keep it moving regardless of what the feeling car is doing. When you encounter a command of Scripture that exposes a response that is contrary to what the Bible expects, such as love, joy, peace, gratitude, or trust, how do you tend to deal with your shortfall? As a failure, a need to try harder, or make excuses, blame shift, something else entirely? Number 5. If God already knows what is present in your heart, what might it look like to bring him your lack of gratitude, joy, trust, or willingness, not as an excuse for disobedience, but as a form of honest humility, as you admit your need for his perspective? Island Insights. God sees what is truly operating in our hearts, even when our outward behavior appears to be correct. When we discover a difference between what we know, what we say, and how we actually respond to challenging situations, we do not have to hide, pretend, or simply try harder. We can humbly admit the tension and invite God to grant us his perspective. God appreciated honesty and truth more than self-effort. By humbly admitting our present frustrations and struggles, we begin moving in the direction of gaining the truth and perspective we need.